Well, hello, my friends, and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope you guys are having a fantastic day today. Hope you guys have been enjoying your day so far. Got a lot of great stories for you today, and remind you, the product of the week, the magnesium brain food, is final today. It will be changing over the next couple hours, and the B-Complex one product of the week, but I'll be changing later on when I get in the office, the magnesium brain food, so it will be up there for a few more hours today on Wednesday. So be sure, if you want to take advantage of it, you got a few more hours to do so on the 12% off sale. We talked about it in detail all week. You can go on there and read it right on the front page about the effects of magnesium thionate and what it does and how good it is for the brain. So be sure to check that out. Also, too, we brought GHI Cleanse. We talked about it yesterday, kind of off the cuff. And we'll go into more detail a little bit more today on some other topics we have relating to that product and why it's such a good detoxifier. So again, be sure to check it out at healthmasters.com. And thank you for the continued support. If you guys need anything, you know where to get a hold of us. We're always here to help you out the best we possibly can. Emails, phone calls, and yes, we still do pick up our phones, unlike majority of other companies on the market right now. You got to go through 10 prompts and then leave them a voicemail, and they'll get back to you at their earliest convenience. We just pick up the phone right off the rip. So again, thank you for the support and allow us to bring you the news every single day. You know, ironically enough, down here in Florida, we've been getting a lot of flack against the DEI programs, the diversity, equity, and inclusion, for good reason. If you guys remember, DeSantis signed a bill pretty much last year that was going to go into effect later on, beginning this year, essentially cutting funding, state funding, from these DEI programs to schools and universities, along with critical race theory and a lot of the other things that they've been promoting, which is basically just communism and Marxism under a fancier book title. That's all it was. And what's interesting about this now, University of Florida, the Gators, they have now pulled their entire diversity, equity, and inclusion program out, done. They dissolved the entire program this week. Ironically enough, they did a audit, and they found that they were spending $5 million a year on diversity, equity, and inclusion program with 13 full-time employees and another 15 administrative appointments for faculty. And what's interesting about this is nobody could actually state what they were doing for the school. They don't get everything. Well, we're promoting diversity and equity. All right, well, what does that mean? We're making sure everything's diverse. Okay, well, how are you doing that? We're making sure it's happening. It's the most bizarre thing you've seen. And again, it was just more wasted money. What's crazy about it is I was reading here, they were talking about how the majority of the money was going to salaries for the diversity-focused positions, such as the College of Liberal Arts and the Science Associate Dean for Equity and Inclusion, who's making $141,000 a year to promote equity and inclusion, along with all these other employees. And so they've dissolved that program, along with numerous other universities down in the state of Florida. They're getting rid of that. And again, this just goes to show you why it's so important to understand where your money's going with this. And I got to give DeSantis credit for that when he pulled the plug on this. When you start having groups come in that are literally just promoting pure communism and Marxism, and they're getting free money to do it, again, if somebody wants to talk about that, this is America. Free speech is available to everyone, even if you want to promote moronic behavior. But at the end of the day, we don't have to support it. We don't have to fund it. So kudos to the University of Florida for opting out of this now and saving $5 million a year. Because it's funny, the program's no longer successful whenever they have to actually pay for it. Whenever the state is no longer giving them funds to cover the spread, we're no longer concerned about it anymore. That's the ironic part of mine.
Here's a funny thing. I remember when I was at Florida State, before I got there, this is before Ted Brower arrived, the logo was, and the people would always joke about, Florida State, where girls are girls and guys are too. Now you know why. And the reason they said that is that Florida State University used to be a girls' college.
Yeah.
And so they basically, you know, there were a lot of girls' programs like home economics. And then, of course, they had the theater program, which was, you know, pretty much their equity inclusion program back then for gay guys. And it was a very strange place to be initially when I went up there. But again, you know, it was great to date because there really weren't a lot of real guys up there. So that was kind of interesting. But the problem is that, of course, it's not like that anymore. If you go to Florida State, don't get offended with me. I graduated Florida State three times. I love the school. I love Tallahassee. But Tallahassee is a very liberal, liberal, liberal town. That's where, of course, our state legislature is, up in Tallahassee. And so for me, for the Gators, the big arch rival of Florida State, to come out and dump their program like they did, says that a whole bunch of other people probably will do the same thing as far as other state institutions when they have to pay for their own programs. The thing that people don't realize with these state universities is the funding they get a lot of times is matched by donors and people who go to the school there. And they have all kinds of programs all the time with alumni trying to raise more and more money. So it's funny to me because, you know, nobody really thinks about the fact that money is fungible. Let me stop for 1 second and ask, and explain to you what I mean by that. If I went to Florida State University and I gave them $100 for whatever, you know, that would help fund a program for them for $100, but it also free up $100 where they could put any money they wanted to that $100 anywhere they wanted, including into diversity, equity, inclusion program. So be very careful with the universities that you support and the money that you give them, because a lot of these universities now, if they're going to lose state funding, some of their administration is so whacked out of their brains that they're going to continue to want to support that type of behavioral pattern on campus, and they're going to try to make the money fungible and come from other departments. That's just, I'm letting you know that. So if you're an alumni of FSU or University of Florida or Miami or wherever you went to school, or University of Georgia, I mean, this show is so broad and vast now, anywhere you went, be very careful when you fund a secular university, because, again, the money that you donate is fungible, and it allows them to take other monies and put it into these weird, strange programs. Years ago, just be honest, I'll just tell you the story. Florida State University basically contacted me, and they wanted me to donate some money through their alumni fund. And I went up there and I spoke to the president then. He's gone now. His name was T.K. Weatherall. T.K. Weatherall is a super nice guy. He's passed away. But I'll never forget, I flew up there. I didn't fly up there. I drove up there. They flew down here to meet me. And I drove up there, and they actually had this, you know, go to a couple of the Florida State games, et cetera, et cetera. And then they wanted me to give some money to them. And I told TK, I said, the problem I've got with this is not that I don't like the school. It's not that I wasn't saved in graduate school here. It's not that I, you know, haven't been following Jesus since I became, you know, a Christian, you know, when I was in college and graduate school at Florida State. It's that you have a gay and lesbian studies program. And he looked at me kind of funny, and he goes, what does that have to do with, you know, you donating money to the school? And I said, money's fungible, TK. And he goes, well, yeah, it is. And I said, so when I fund one of your programs that doesn't have funding, or it does have funding, you can move the money from that program back into the gay, you know, lesbian studies. He says, well, that's true. And I said, well, I have a problem with that. I said, there are a lot of Christian universities around the country that need funding also that don't have gay and lesbian studies. And he goes, well, we're a major university. We have a diverse university, you know, programs. And I said, well, okay, that's fine. And I never gave them any money. And, you know, of course, then I was no longer invited to the football games. just to give you the heads up. And I love Florida State, but that happened to me personally. But I want to read you this. And this shows you where it's going. And I'm going to show this on the screen if you guys can see it. I'll just let you go. I'm not making this up. This is Trans Joker Movie, The People's Joker, being released despite Warner Brothers' copyright objections. Now, I'm going to attempt to read through this without putting personal commentary in for the first time I read through it. Probably not going to be possible. I probably make commentary anyhow. Vera Drew's trans parody movie, The People's Joker, will soon begin screening in theaters across the U.S. despite early rejections from Warner Brothers Discovery after copyright infringement. The explosive do-it-yourself autobiographical queer work of art reimagines the Joker's origin, starring Drew, the director, editor, and co-writer, as a closeted trans woman who moves to Gotham City to become a stand-up comedian. Yeah, I didn't just make any of that up. I just read you that one straight up. I couldn't even comment on that, okay? So now the film, which features versions of the Joker and other characters from Warner Brothers DC films, including Batman, is expanding to more than 20 cities across the country, including a run at several Alamo draft houses. So what we're going to do is we're going to sit around at the Alamo Draft House drinking beer, getting drunk, watching a transgender movie. I guess you'd have to stop. Just don't sign me up for that one. What happened between Dear Review and The People's Joker and Warner Brothers, the conflict? Drew had originally expected Warner Brothers to just quietly ignore us and rest comfortably knowing that no one's ever going to confuse our movie with a DC property or to think that we're trying to replace their brand. Now, you know, here's the thing that I really don't understand. You know, we are supposed to just sit back, and they put the stuff on, you know, on the movie maker here on this article. I posted it, so you guys can read it. So you know, I'm not making this stuff up. I don't make up anything. And you have to ask yourself a question. Who in the world thinks that this movie is going to monetize itself unless it's such a C or D rated film that they, you know, they spent $500 in the backyard film? That could be what they could do. Okay. Or is it just something that's supposed to be more of a shock culture? This reminds me of CERN, the Hadron Collider. You know, and also I talked about this the other day over in Geneva, Switzerland, the underground facility that's trying to find the God particle. And when they first cranked it up, had many black holes established and little earthquakes all over the planet, that place where they're trying to open a veil into another dimension. I've covered it in detail. And then they have a human sacrifice ritual out in front of their goddess Shiva at the front. And they actually got it caught on film, and somebody from the place released it, and it went viral, of these people sacrificing a human being in front of the goddess Shiva. I mean, we're complete with black robes. And when they were contacted about this, when the administration knew that it was real and they knew that this had happened, their response was, this is just a couple of our scientists going out and getting drunk one night and conducting a mock, M-O-C-K, mock human ritual sacrifice in front of the goddess Shiva. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, they're
lest you think we're making that story up right there.
There it is.
Mock human sacrifice at CERN video release. Fake ritual killing filmed in courtyard at CERN.
So this is what we all do, isn't it? We all go to the beer place and we watch a trans movie. Okay, that's not going to happen. Or everybody goes out and gets drunk and does a mock ritual sacrifice, and that's supposed to be okay because we're drunk. You know, Austin, I got drunk a few times in college before I became a Christian. I did about 4 or 5 times my whole life, and I never had the indication or the inclination to go out and grab somebody, put on a black robe, get a butcher knife, and walk outside in front of a demon goddess statue and have a mock ritual human sacrifice killing in front of the cameras so I could basically be videotaped. That never crossed my mind. So who in the world wants to put a trans Joker movie out? Are these the same people that are doing the mock human sacrifices? Oh, wow. I guess I just did ask a question, didn't I?
Is
the same group of Kabbalist Luciferian Synagogue of Satan endorsing all of this stuff? Yeah, probably so. What do you think, Austin? And have you ever wanted to go out and just take a butcher knife and have a mock human sacrifice after you had
No, ever. It's put down on the record. It's funny. I'm rereading part of this because I haven't read this in so long because it happened in like 2016. And what's ironic about it is they said, well, the scientists were just – it was just a prank. They got drunk and were just goofing off, and they got a woman and they got black clothes and they got a knife and they got basically to reenact an occult ceremony. You know, your humor's got to be a little bit too dark if you think that that's supposed
macabre.
To be funny.
Just a little bit macabre.
Yeah, that CERN's a whole nother animal with that whole thing that they're doing over there. Also, too, in other news, this is interesting as well. Utah bill is now encouraging teachers to get firearm training and carry on campus as it passes the legislature. The Educator Protector Program will essentially help fund Utah schools to help train teachers and basically get them firearms proficient, which I found that video to be very, very interesting. And a lot of the information that's coming out with that is pretty awesome, actually. I love seeing that, especially active training. I always tell everybody this before when it comes to firearm handling. Do not, under any circumstances, go purchase a firearm and then carry that firearm on your person without having adequate training. That's the quickest way to have a negligent discharge or shoot yourself or shoot somebody else if you have no idea what you're doing with a firearm. They're not a joke. Handguns are very, very dangerous. They need active training. They need continual training and understanding how to operate them properly, how to make sure you're keeping your finger off the trigger unless you're ready to shoot, make sure you're not muzzle sweeping, et cetera, et cetera. I've talked about it before, but again, I'm really excited to see this over in Utah. Also, too, in other news, as the EV market is in full meltdown now, have you seen now Ford has literally shut down their F-150 Lightning. They're talking about bringing it back out after they fix their problems as far as their quality control issues on it, which we'll see how that happens. Apple now is completely bailing out of the EV market and shifting its focus to more Apple products with more AI, which, surprise, surprise, was interesting, though. Apple's canceling their decade-long effort to build an EV vehicle, shocking nearly 2,000 employees that are involved in the project. The people who shared the news request were not identified because the announcement wasn't public. The decision was shared by Apple Chief Operating Officer Jeff Williams, and essentially that the project will wind down and many of the employees will be transferred to other departments. Apple's decision, influenced essentially by the cooling EV market, and a lot of the shareholders were very, very excited, welcomed by investors, and said they were relieved and sent Apple shares skyrocketing after the news was revealed. The company stock was up at least 1% by the close on the same day as they completely scrapped the EV sector. This is what I told everybody about the last couple of years, and people have started to actually catch on now. If we don't want something in a free market, if we don't want something as far as in society, don't buy it. Nobody's forcing anybody to buy these things. This is a program that's been massively funded and bankrolled by the federal government through these huge, huge grants and green energy deals to make these vehicles even remotely financially feasible to produce, manufacture, and sell on the market. But everybody's realizing they're complete and total sham. They're really, really fancy, cool golf carts. That's what they are. And I'm not knocking all EVs because some of them are pretty cool for what you need around, maybe around your town if you're driving a mile or two down the road and, you know, pull the doors off, pull the roof off like a golf cart, and, you know, drive around in them. And cool, okay. But actually using them as a true means of long-term, long-distance transportation, every single person I know that tries to drive these things cross-country or through state to state to state has nothing but problems trying to find charging stations, trying to find places that are open, dealing with the increased prices of them. And on top of that as well, all it does is monitor and track everything you do. So, again, EV market cooling down, no surprise there. Also, too, in other news, this is something that's very interesting. I've told everybody about this last year when it came out. The newly approved RSV vaccine has already had 34 confirmed deaths and 302 serious injuries, and experts are saying it may be time to pull it off the market as it has not even been out for an entire year yet. This was rolled out, if you remember, last year, when allegedly RSV started sweeping the nation with young children and all these kids were coming down with RSV and all these basically respiratory problems. Again, most of the time that we saw, majority of the kids that were getting RSV were vaccinated. We also saw that a lot of the issues that they were having were also linked and appeared to be side effects from other vaccines that they were getting with the RSV. And if you remember, Pfizer quickly rolled out the RSV shot, immediately got it approved, FDA approved it, said it was safe for children, safe for babies, safe for everybody, and it's not safe whatsoever. When we're looking at the VAERS report on it and the research that's showing now, it has a significant safety signal directly linked to Guillain-Barre syndrome. Report cases include several instances of adverse events in newborns, including the death of a 27-day-old baby and also a pregnant woman, and along with individuals that basically were older that they were told to get. This whole thing has been nothing but a boondoggle, the shot was. It was rolled out again like COVID. When they start allowing these shots, and they did this under the COVID vaccine, when they gave these shots carte blanche immunity under emergency use authorization and everything started getting rubber stamped, it didn't matter what it was. Oh, it's approved, it's approved, it's approved, it's approved, it's approved. It's a real problem when you're dealing with drugs like this and gene therapy. So again, RSV shot. A lot of these committees don't want to take it off the market, but of course the FDA has doubled down and said it's safe and effective because, well, Pfizer told us it's safe and effective. So they would never lie about anything.
You know what's interesting about all of this stuff is that, you know, you look at, you know, CERN and this ritual human sacrifice that we talked about. And then you ask yourself a question, if these entities on the other side of the veil are really running the show like we talked about, you know, in Angel Wars, why do they have nothing better than to sit around and experiment on humans? I mean, this is what this is. It's RSV show. It's just a big another, you know, let's inject them with mRNA and see what happens. Let's inject them with this other stuff and see what happens. Let's put fluoride in their toothpaste and see what happens. Let's go ahead and put aluminum in their deodorant and see what happens. And the sad part about this is that when you finally realize it, like, you know, the United States and the world is basically like a steam locomotive. You know, it's running at full power, and the guy who's running the train, the conductor, whoever you call it, the guy at the front, he basically he had a heart attack. He's falling against the ghost with the lever. He's full speed, okay? And so we're going through the highway. We're going through at 150 miles an hour on a train that was designed to run at about 40 miles an hour. And all the passengers are sitting on this train in horror because they're going around corners. The train's tipping, and they're screaming in the back. And, like, every state in the United States is like a different car. And everybody's trying to uncouple from this monster. And nobody can make it to the conductor in the front who's basically dead on the lever now. And so that's what it feels like. You know, Joe Biden just had another, you know, press conference, and he said as he's walking out, "I'm not supposed to answer these questions. I'll get in trouble.
Yeah, you saw that.
And, I mean, here's the leader of the free world, supposedly, who basically, you know, is about as Alzheimer's senile dementia as you can get, who's already had massive brain surgery 20, 30 years ago, and he's running out and not answering questions. I'll get in trouble. Well, who is in charge and how will he get in trouble?
Who's he getting in trouble with?
And, you know, and so, again, these entities on the other side of the veil, I remember a few of those astronauts went down to Antarctica and they came back, had to be medevaced out because they said the horror down there and the evil was so overwhelming they had to leave. you know, what's going on in Antarctica? We talked about that many times. In addition to that,
we can't go down that. That's a long, deep rabbit hole to go down in Antarctica.
We did a whole show on Angel Wars about how these entities, these demons, these things on the other side of the veil, and sometimes on this side of the veil, were locked up down here with us. And like I said, apparently they have nothing better to do than to cause chaos. That's why the Bible says they come to rob, kill, steal, and destroy. Because they want to destroy God's creation, because they won't, they hate you, and they hate me and Austin, because we have souls. They don't know what to do with that. So what they're going to do is basically they're going to basically do everything they can to destroy us and destroy God's creation, because they're on a grease track to hell. I guess I could say that without getting so politically incorrect at this point. What difference does it make? Because they know they have no way to get salvation at this point. So now they're just going to they want to burn the house down with everything else. We're going to burn the house down. And, you know, we can't get out, so everybody can stay in the house. We're going to lock them all up in this train going 150 miles an hour, you know, careening around the corners, trying to tip over until it all comes apart. That's the goal for these guys. And that's why in Isaiah talks about they show up in hell, Lucifer shows up in hell, and all these world leaders are down in hell. And they're going, wait a minute, you know, how did you get up down here? You told us what was going to happen. Well, here we are. We're all here. You lied to us again, and we can't figure out what happened. And that's it. All of the people on this planet that are in these higher levels have all been handpicked by these entities. And if you try to go to one of those higher levels without being handpicked, you're quickly shut down, deplatformed, or you're marginalized, or you're defunded. It just happens immediately. I mean, what, 7-8 years ago when we first started the show, we were on YouTube, building a big audience. Boom. They came in, like, took all our shows down. Copyright infringement. Wouldn't tell us what a copyright was. Can't have it, you can't be on. And I'm like, what the heck? And so I told our producer, Todd, I said, just take it all down. I said, if they're going to play that game, we'll stay with Global Star. We're not going to play this game. So that was way before they started, you know, taking people down from COVID. They took us off because we're telling you what's who and what are really running the planet. By the way, the boss of Europe is Tesla. This is going to tie back to Austin's story. Despairs at EV avoiders. You're an EV avoider. you're an EV denier. Oh, I mean, you know, and he goes, stop being scared of change. No, stop being scared of change. What he's trying to say is, hey, look, just because you buy this car for $100,000 and it's worth $10,000 after 24 months and you can't get rid of it, nobody wants it, nobody wants to take it on trade, and you're stuck paying the bills on this wretched thing, and now you're going to be charged for refuse disposal because it's an EV with lithium-ion batteries, why are you scared? Well, I hate to tell you this, buddy, because you know some of us actually can think, and you are a moron being paid like these diversity inclusion guys at the University of Florida who are doing nothing but getting paid. He's getting paid to come out and put this rhetoric out there because the European drivers are saying, you know what? I don't want to be involved with this. By the way, the Daily Mail just came out and said electric cars are releasing more toxic emissions than gas-powered vehicles and are worse for the environment. And I go, what? He goes, an EV weighs 30% more than regular gas cars, causing the tires to wear out faster. The tire tread releases toxic particles 400 times greater than exhaust emissions. You hear that one? So the EV thing is kind of coming to a screech and halt until they can figure out how to fix all this mess. And again, the technology that we have that was developed and given to Nikola Tesla over 100 years ago using the magnetic energy on the planet would allow us to directly tie into any of these magnetic eddies around the planet and recharge the batteries in any type of car like this or even run off the electrical eddies. The technology is there. They've had it for a long, long time, and they buried it because of the petrochemical industry and all the money they make on you know, petrochemicals. This EV vehicle is antiquated before it ever got started because the technology that Nikola Tesla had is over 100 years old. So that's the problem that we have. And to go back right now to the whole thing about the inclusion equity stuff and not wanting to have a man be a man and a woman be a woman, the VA has now denied removing the iconic WW2 kissing photo after rogue woke memo circulates. The top official at the Department of Veterans Affairs has denied rumors that an iconic WW2 World War II of a U.S. Navy sailor kissing a woman in Times Square will be removed. Let me be clear, this image is not banned from VA facilities. It just disappeared. And we will keep it in VA facilities, wrote the VA Secretary Dennis McDowho. Okay? So, you know, that's the picture. I'll show you this. This is the picture of this guy kissing this girl in Times Square after the surrender.
That's a classic photo.
It's a classic photo. And now the interesting thing about this is they built a statue to this, this giant statue in Sarasota, and it's called Unconditional Surrender Statue to Stay on Sarasota's Bayfront. And I've been there, and I've taken pictures in front of it before with, you know, with Sharon and with other girlfriends that I've had since Sharon's passed away. And what's interesting about this is it is one of those things that it shows a man kissing a woman. Now, that's verboten. Awesome. Can't kiss your wife. Can't do that. And what we have to understand is that when this kind of stuff happens, Rich, turn the center camera on. When this kind of stuff happens, Austin, you know, we have a situation where, you know, it's a heterosexual kiss of a man and a woman kissing each other, and it's iconic after World War II. But it shows you what's happened and the degradation of society when this photo is considered no longer politically correct or acceptable.
Yeah.
They had a hard time with this. A lot of people wanted this entire statue removed and dumped and discarded in Sarasota. It's a very liberal town. And they wanted all of this stuff destroyed. And finally, the commissioners have said they had such an overwhelming cry from the actual people out there that think men and women should be together. They left it up and just moved it when they were starting a road widening project down there. And to me, it's sad that all of this stuff is happening.
Well, look at all the statues they've been removing all across the country. I mean, this is something that's become systemic now.
This is George Orwell again.
Yeah, this is exactly. This is erasing history and rewriting it the way you want it to be. And the problem with it is when you start allowing these groups to come in, and the funny part about it is they're a minor part of the actual population, but yet they're trying to dictate mass change to everybody else and tell everybody else what we're supposed to believe, what we're supposed to think. And that's a very dangerous time in society when you start having groups that come in and say, this is what you have to accept, this is what you cannot endorse, this is what you cannot like, this is what you have to like, you have to embrace all of it. We've seen this now with numerous topics, and we've watched it now with the perversion, what they've done now with this whole transgender ideology. I've said before, if somebody's got gender dysphoria and they've got mental disorder, by all means, get them some help. If somebody's got a mental problem, this could be a serious issue. Reach out to people, help people out. But you don't sit there and you don't start promoting it, and you don't start telling your children that it's normal. You start telling 8-9-year-old kids that they can start getting ready for gender-blocking hormones, puberty-blocking hormones, and cross-gender, you know, hormones like testosterone or estrogen and opposite sexes when they're 12, 13 years old. This is just bizarre to the highest level. And the funny part, the not funny part, we're one of the only countries in the entire world that actually go along with this. We're it. There's not that many other countries that are even remotely endorsing this for children at all. Maybe a few over in Europe. The United States is like bent on making sure this is normal. Well, you start looking at the funding. You start finding out that a bunch of these individuals are funded by different types of Chinese communist groups. You find out that a lot of these guys are funded by George Soros and other groups like that are linked to this World Economic Forum. What they want to do is break down the United States from the lowest level, the highest level down to the lowest level. And that's what we're watching right now. That's why it's so important to really monitor what your children are watching and getting exposed to. I told you guys a while back ago, there was a cartoon that came on. It was on the internet. It was like a Jurassic Park cartoon. And Hunter and I watched a little bit of it. I watched a couple episodes, and it wasn't bad. I mean, it had a couple little things that I was like, but majority of it, you know, it was mainly dinosaurs and the run from dinosaurs and whatever. And then all of a sudden we had a phone call from one of our friends, and she goes, hey, how many episodes are you guys into that? And I was like, I don't know. We're watching a little bit of it. She's like, well, don't watch anything past this. And I'm saying, why? What's going on? She said, this show's for like, you know, 8-9-year-old kids. And she goes, dude, by this episode, you have two girls to basically start making out with each other on the cartoon. Two girls making out. Show's for 8-9 years old. And I said, you got to be kidding me. Can't even get into it. You got it. This is what they have to put in. She goes, yeah. So sure enough, I told Hunter, I said, sorry, bud. This is the last episode we're watching. I said, because I was watching it with him. So I want to see what's going to do. And sure enough, they had to put that in there. And I thought to myself, what was necessary about that? What was the reasoning behind that? And there was none. I actually went back and I found the episodes. I wanted to watch. I actually went in and I watched part of it because I wanted to see what it did. And it was completely and totally frivolous. There was no aspect of it that needed to be in there. It was designed to be in there to have these 8-9-year-old kids that had no idea what's going on, that are still halfway innocent and watching a show innocently, and all of a sudden you put that in there, and now you've planted that seed right in their head. So they start thinking, oh, well, that's okay. They did it on the show. They're cool on the show. I can do this. This is fun. Maybe I'm a girl. Maybe I'm a guy. Maybe I'm gay. I don't know. Here's the thing. Everybody's got to deal with their own stuff once they become adults, but leave the kids out of this. This whole thing now going after these young children, we've watched this now too with this vaping industry. I had a buddy over last night working out with me, and his stepson got suspended from school, got caught with a vape in school. And they said that the principal now said that these vaping cartridges, the disposable ones, these tobacco ones with nicotine in them, very addictive nicotine, they said that it's becoming like a systemic problem now. I mean, like every single day they're writing kids up for, and these kids are going and getting these cartridges from the gas station with a fake ID or having an 18-year-old buy them for them, and they're bringing them to school in a backpack, and they're selling these nicotine pens all across campus. It's become like a serious problem. There's an article here, and I pulled it up. This is in Australia now, and they said vaping has nearly tripled in the last 3 years in Australia now. They said it's almost fivefold among young adults. Listen to this number here. Among ages 14 to 17, vaping surged from 1.8% of that age group to now 9.7% of 14 to 17-year-olds are vaping. Almost 10% of late teenagers are now using nicotine pens. And the problem with this is, guys, and I talked to him about it, said, here's the problem with these pens. I've been around them before. And I told him, I said, here's the problem. Nicotine is extremely addictive. It's also a vasoconstrictant. It also puts a lot of stress on the cardiovascular system. And if you guys smoke cigarettes, you guys already know this. I'm not fussing at you, but you already know what they do. But see, back when people smoke cigarettes still, which they still do, but now this has become so easy. You know, you had to have a cigarette pack. You had to have, you know, cigarette lighter. You go outside. You end up smelling afterwards. You can't smoke anywhere in Florida as far as inside buildings or restaurants. These vape pens have made it so convenient for young children to come in now and constantly keep this nicotine hit going all day long without having to do anything other than sit there and hit this pen. And the problem is it makes it unbelievably more addictive than just smoking one or two or three cigarettes a day, going outside and occasionally smoking one. This is a real problem. It's getting much, much worse. It's something to be aware of because a lot of these kids that are getting hooked on this stuff, this could be something they're going to have to fight the rest of their life, Dad.
You know, I'm not – I gotta step back and talk about this vape thing for a second. You know, the biggest problem that I've run into, Austin, one of the big problems that I've run into as far as from a dating standpoint is that when you find somebody on a dating app, which these dating apps are like a nightmare now, and you basically take them out and they put down they were not smokers, because I wouldn't go out with a smoker, and suddenly they come back in and like every 45 minutes they run to the bathroom. Every 45 minutes, they have to excuse themselves. And you're asking yourself, what the heck are you doing? And every single time that's happened, it's been because they've gone to the bathroom to vape.
Yeah.
100% of the time.
Nicotine buzz.
And because they're addicted to it, but they don't want you to know that they're hooked on nicotine because that means they're basically a smoker who's not using cigarettes.
Yeah.
They're a nicotine addict. And it's a sad problem that we have in the dating world now because they don't consider themselves to be smokers. And so what they've done, they've taken, like you said, that stigma of having a cigarette hanging out of their mouth.
Right.
Okay. And they've gotten rid of that. And now they just run to the bathroom and they take a hit, takes a few seconds, and they run back out again. And so they, in their mind, think it's okay. It's just as addictive, if not more addictive, than a doggone cigarette because it's so concentrated.
Yep.
And these young kids are getting involved in it because they see people do it. They think, well, that'll be fun. Let me try it a few times. Well, they get hooked on it almost immediately. And I've seen that with guys that I know that who do chewing tobacco. Yep. And, you know, and snuff and all that kind of stuff. They start using it and they get addicted to it. Now, but let me just stop for 1 second. This actually made Drudge News this morning. I want to stop at this. It says, dating apps have gotten so bad that speed dating is in again. Now, they brought up something here that I want to talk to you guys about. It's important. Seven men and six women sit scattered around a tiny Irish pub in a sleepy San Francisco neighborhood area as they do speed dating. And what's going on here, it says that what's happening on these dating apps, and this is the absolute truth, you have a situation where AI has come in now and is posting fake apps on the dating sites. In other words, some of these dating apps that you look at, some of these girls that you see on these sites, they're perfect. And you think, okay, well, that girl's perfect. Why is she not dating somebody? Well, you find out she's a computer-generated app, okay? And so if they don't have a video of them talking to you or whatever, if you can't get a return phone call or if you can't get a video Skype, you know, FaceTime call with that person, 99% of the time, they're not who they say they are. So just be really, really, really careful. These dating apps have become a nightmare. Now, Match, the big one that owns a bunch of these, they're in a massive class action lawsuit because of this. Because they're saying they're not trying to get people to date. They're trying to get people hooked on the app and buy additional upgrades and all of the features they have. And of course, they laugh. The company laughs and says that's not true. But as somebody who's been on a dating site before, it is true, period. That's what they do. So again, if you're single, I'm doing this for the single guys now, the single women. If you're out there on a dating app, make sure you verify the person on a video chat before you try to meet them. And never, ever, and I've talked about this before too, send them money. That's critically important that you don't send them money because chances are if you do that, they're, again, doing, you know, just it's just fake. And they find these lonely people who are trying to find a soulmate, and they basically manipulate them and use them. And that's why the speed dating apps that people meeting in person are actually coming back. But I'm going to say this to you also. never meet with somebody in person unless you have basically seen what they look like for real, because there's a high probability they're not going to look like they're supposed to look. Now, there's an interesting article from the Burning Platform here. It's called The Five FUBARs. And this FUBAR, the word was actually made famous, you know, on the, you know, Saving Private Ryan for many, many years ago. And but it's not, it doesn't, this is what it is, a mispronounced word in German. The real word is Furchtbar, which means horrible, horrible thing that's happened. And so when you look at it, when you see FUBARs, if you want to use FUBAR or whatever, it's become part of the common vernacular now. But the reality is it's called Furchtbar in German. And you know, and it goes on to say about these different things that are happening in the United States, about Ukraine, about Mr. Macron in France wants to offer up his army for slaughter in the blood-soaked areas of Ukraine. Then it says the phantom government of Joe Biden is too weak and mindless to join any negotiations. Next is the border. You saw last year how the blob elite, generally calling them the blob now, greeted the transfer of illegal immigrants to their happy little island of Martha Vineyards. They were not amused by the Governor DeSantis prank and offloaded offloaded them post haste. And of course, that's not the main thing to worry about, with what altogether amounts to millions of border jumpers flooding our land. The main reason to worry is when the blob that invited them here intends to do, when you suspect, is to unleash mayhem in the streets. So it's happening right now in stadiums, in malls, at Six Flags over Georgia,
but
all of the rest that we've seen. And it goes on, the third Furchtbar is the lawfare, a campaign of Democratic Party and a regime power against the citizens of this land, which is true. The fourth item is the U.S. economy, which has been overwhelmed by maladministration of an overgrown monster bureaucracy and the gross, perhaps fatal, mismanagement of the government's money. You know, and so it goes into detail on all the things that are happening right now. And then it says the doctors have surrendered your trust in them with their lying and their nonsense. The current director of the CDC, Mandy Cohen, and her predecessor, Walensky, have knowingly presided over the mass killing and injuries imposed by the mRNA vaccinated. Hundreds of their deputies should be liable for prosecution, and so should many of their other prominent characters in the COVID saga, which includes Fauci, Birx, Collins, Barrick, Burla, Califf, Woodcock, Hahn, and many more. So what we have here is a situation in which we have to learn how to step away from the runaway train that we just mentioned a minute ago. We need to decouple from it. That's why it's important to keep storable food at your house. Now, I'm going to talk about this for just a second, because right now we have gold making another surge. It's over $2,200 an ounce. It should be at $20,000 an ounce right now. Silver should be at $1,000 an ounce because of the increase of the M1 money supply. So be very, very careful right now with what's happening. Someone talked to me yesterday, said, well, if World War III starts, we'll get together. And I thought to myself, whoa. I don't believe we're going to have World War III as far as another country invading our country. Why should they? They've already brought 40 to 50 million illegals into our country, and now they're giving them armaments, and they're going to put them in the U.S. military and train them in advanced combat, or if they've already not been trained. We talked about this in depth on yesterday's show. So it's very, very important. So I'm going to do a segue here to this. We talked about this yesterday, the GHI cleanse. This product, it's almost empty. I take this every single day in a protein shake. If you look at the list of ingredients on here, it's massively extensive. I can't read them on the camera today because it's going to take too long. But you go to our website and you take a look at it. This product is absolutely amazing, and I highly recommend it for everybody who wants to be healthy. Now, it's also a great storable food. If you put this on your shelf, it's going to last you 2 or 3 years, and you can rotate through the bottles. That's why I tell you guys, stay prepared. You don't want to – the guy at Tesla says everybody's frightened of the vehicles. No, they're not. They're looking at the future and realizing they're going to make a horrible mistake if they buy one of these things that basically are breaking down all the time. And now Europe has basically – their Tesla factories are in, quote, sabotage. I guess it gives them an excuse to quit making them. All of this stuff is happening right now around us as we speak. So stay prepared. You know, GHI cleanse is one of the best things you can do a fast with. You know, to get your ideal body weight, which is, let's say you want to weigh, you know, 180 pounds, and to take 1,800 calories of that per day if you want to weigh 180 pounds. 1,800 calories should never go underneath it. And when you fast when you get older, unless you're doing it for severe health problems that you're having, it's going to cause you to have a degradation of lean muscle tissue. And that lean muscle tissue, remember, when you start losing muscle tissue, the mitochondria are destroyed in the muscle tissue. In addition to that, the insulin receptors are destroyed in that muscle tissue. And when that happens, you're going to have an increase in insulin, which is going to cause more syndrome X, which is going to cause more body fat to be accumulated. Be really, really careful with water fasting. You can do it if you got severe health problems. I won't cover those in the show today, but I don't recommend it. I recommend at this point in my life, GHI cleanse is the best way to go with that. And we have a pastor up in Birmingham, a mega church up there. Every year he goes on like a 3-week GHI cleanse, and it's one of the most amazing products that you've ever used. It really helps to restore liver. GHI stands for gastric, that's the gut, hepatic, which means liver, and I for inflammation. That's what it means. For the gut, for the liver, and for inflammation. And it works in all three areas extremely, extremely well. So I recommend everybody stays on that product on a daily basis. What do you think, Austin?
Well, you're spot on with that. And one thing you mentioned, too, as far as kind of resetting, the insulin receptors and actually getting the blood sugar back under control, that's why we put together the cinnamon extract with the berberine.
Oh,
those two
product.
Work incredibly good at getting blood sugar back under control because, as Dad said, what happens is, especially if you're eating an enormous amount of calories and carbohydrates and your insulin is constantly getting spiked, your receptors are not going to be as, they're not going to respond to it. And so your insulin continues to get worse and worse and worse. That's what happens when people start having enormous blood sugar problems and they start to go on insulin because their blood sugar is all over the place with diabetes and they go on metformin. List goes on. I'm not going to get into all that right now, but what's crazy about it is the cinnamon extract with the berberine, those two we have found work incredibly well for maintaining healthy blood sugar. And segueing back to what I talked about earlier, because I wanted to mention this, kind of clicked off as we were going back and forth, about detoxing from nicotine. There's three products that I found as far as a stack. This is because I get this question a lot, actually, as far as people that are trying to cut out, Copenhagen or cigarettes or vaping pens, because nicotine does give an enormous – it's difficult to come off of the first couple of days. You get a lot of withdrawal symptoms from it. The cinnamon extract, which has chromium in it and multiple other nutrients that help maintain the blood sugar and also can help reduce cravings. The B-complex, which is really important for brain and dopamine and serotonin, and the 5-HTP, which is also good for brain functioning. Those three right there, along with the magnesium brain food, if you want to add that one in, that one's very, very effective as well. But those three, if you want to add the magnesium, four products work really good if you have the willpower and if you want to come off nicotine. Now, if you don't want to come off and you want to keep smoking or keep vaping, that's your choice. I'm not going to lecture you on morals of ethics of that aspect or health aspects of it. You already know. But the cinnamon extract, the B-complex, the 5-HTP, the magnesium brain food, incredibly good stack that'll help cut at least some of the cravings and cut the edge off if you're dealing with trying to detox off of nicotine. Also, in other news, this is something that nobody's really covered that much. I covered it at the end of last week when it's starting to become clear and clear that this fire, these massive fires that happened out in Ford County, out in Texas last week, they're starting to seem like they were more controlled, possibly directed energy weapon systems. What's interesting about it is the states, or the fires that went across the state, went and now they're saying to estimate at least 5,000 head of cattle may have been killed by this fire that was in Texas. They're saying now that where the fire was one of the primary areas as far as in Texas that all of these cattle graze. And what's interesting is Texas governor, he went on and made a comment that caught people kind of questioned a lot of stuff. Texas Governor Greg Abbott said not only were the livestock killed, but over 500 structures. This is what he said. 500 structures were confirmed destroyed in the Texas fires. And he went on to say there's something not normal about this because he said the structures were completely gone. There was nothing left. That was his quote. He said, I have witnessed and observed some extraordinary damage in our state. There's basically everything's gone. Nothing left but ashes on the ground. Every time, if you've been around, because I've been around a lot of fires down here in Florida. We have them with the Green Swamp. We've had them down in Ridgeland. When you have fires, I've never seen a fire turn every single thing it touches to straight powdered ash and everything's gone. There's always remnants of certain things that are around. And what's interesting, when you start seeing these fires and there's grass that's around the structure, but the structure is literally in a pile of fine ash and the trees and the fences around the building aren't even charred, you got to start kind of asking yourself the question, what kind of fire was this? You saw these videos and photos out in California when they had that whole section of wildfires, and there were literally, you had aerial videos you can go back and look on. They scrubbed a lot of it off YouTube. There were subdivisions where every single house in the neighborhood was lit, block houses were turned to straight ash, and there were trees and fences in the neighborhood that weren't even burnt. How do you have a block house that turns to complete ash, but the grass and the trees next to the house aren't even charred? I've never seen a fire do that. Again, Governor Greg Abbott kind of brought this up, and a lot of people are questioning now. That's ironic. This fire happened to start right where all these cattle are and right where the main part of all these livestock are, and over 500 structures completely disappeared after this. Am I saying it was directed energy weapon? No, I'm not. Am I saying that I think it probably was? Yeah, I am. That's my opinion on it.
Well, you know, Dr. Judy Wood Austin did a book. It's called Where Did the Towers Go?
Yeah.
And she said that the directed energy weapons that come that are from outer space on space-based weapon platforms can cause what's called what she called molecular disassociation. And she said that's what they did with the trade towers, and that's why people were jumping out of the buildings, even though the fire wasn't close to them, because the building was basically being microwaved from space, and they were being cooked inside of it. And that's why they were diving to their death. And then we got to always remember, you know, we had these buildings come down. If let's say there was a million metric tons of debris that should have been on the ground, it was like a quarter of that. Where did the rest of it go? Well, it went to dust. It went to powder. It just it flew over the Hudson. We saw it. You know, when we if you were alive before 9/11, it just the whole buildings turned to powder.
Yeah.
You know, they started to collapse, and they probably used nanothermite for the big base structures on the bottom of the basement. Because remember, this stuff was glowing like it was boiling still, and the liquid was still molten. You know, a month later.
Yeah.
From the nanothermite or whatever else they used, and some people say they could have used mini nukes, and some people say it was a space-based weapons platform, or it could have been a combination
of
all.
Well, we know Building 7 was controlled demo on that one.
Building 7
was
a straight controlled demo. You know, that was what it was.
That's a crazy one to watch.
And then here's an article that says Americans are more miserable now than people in Zimbabwe and El Salvador. Global Report says erosion of family values, working from home, and junk food are depressing the West. And it's a good article. I'm not going to go through it because we're almost out of time. But the sad part about this is that, you know, this is one of the reasons that these kids are turning to nicotine and these vapes. I want to tie that together. Because that nicotine gives you a feeling of being high and being up, up, up all the time. And so when you have a group of people out there that are running the United States of America, that are running it into the ground, and the parents are having to work two or three jobs all of the time just in order to stay alive and to feed their family, and the kids are sitting around by themselves watching this horrible stuff like you talked about on TV, what ends up happening is people get depressed. And plus, we're creating $1 trillion in debt now every 100 days in the United States. $1 trillion in debt every 100 days. The food prices have gone through the roof, and people are saying, wait a minute, something's wrong here, but we don't know what to do to fix it. And so what happens is you get to a point of just, you become depressed. You start saying, well, I don't know what to do, but this is not what I wanted. It's like that famous line from that movie Gladiator when he says, you know, Marcus Aurelius had a vision of what Rome would be. He goes, this is not it. And this is not the vision that the forefathers of our country had of what the United States was supposed to be. And that's what we've run into now. And that's why people are frustrated. They're working their butts off, the ones who actually still work, the rest of them though, who have learned to come across the country illegally or who have learned how to do government food stamps and government help programs, they kind of just chill out because that's Cloward Piven again. Because Cloward and Piven is that group of professors out in Berkeley out there that basically said, if you overwhelm the social network of the republic, they will no longer be able to feed themselves. They will no longer be able to function because of debt load. And that's exactly what they've done to the United States, as George Orwell said, and that we've mentioned already in the show a couple other times today. When you have an overwhelming of the network of the entire infrastructure, and people are basically they don't know what to do. You know, then you find out that BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard, which are all bloodline family groups and other large group investor houses, are coming in through algorithms and buying up the market through circular ownership. Then you start to realize that we don't own anything anymore as the bulk of Americans, and we've given over our road rights from a proxy standpoint to vote for different things in these different organizations and different companies that we own to these bigger shareholders. We get into a situation where we just kind of sit back and go, wait a minute, this isn't okay. And so, but we don't know what to do. Then we have a clearly stolen election back in 2020. Now we've got Biden. Now we have even people saying that Elon Musk is going to bankroll Trump. Well, I thought Donald Trump was a billionaire. Just saying. I mean, just thought I'd mention that. Because I told you guys years ago he wasn't nearly as wealthy as they said he was. He's on papers, all he is. And he's the same thing with Elon Musk. Elon Musk became a billionaire because of government subsidies for electric vehicles. I'm letting you know that. There's a track here in Auburndale, a full Tesla track. They must have spent $100 million building this thing.
Oh, it's huge. Now they put a giant, with probably a 14 or 18 foot wall around it.
Oh, I didn't know.
Oh, yeah. Just they put a giant wall around. You can't even see it anymore now. I saw it when I was off the parkway. I mean, just giant wall, giant barrier wall up. Can't see the track at all anymore. Because what happened was before the track, you could actually see it from what's called the Polk Parkway. It was very interesting. Ginormous track, all these sensors. They do toll testing on it. They do anonymous vehicle testing, electric vehicle testing. And now there's this giant wall around it. You cannot see a remnant of that track anymore from any place. And I think you have too. I've tried to go over there before and actually get in over there. they don't let anybody in. I mean, it's completely, fully secure, locked down. Well, my question is, you got a test track for autonomous vehicles and needs that level of security and lockdown? I guess they don't want street racers going out there.
Well, remember, now this is advanced AI technology.
Oh, yeah.
They don't want that. That's all proprietary to them right now, and they don't want to get into the common domain. And so, I mean, I drove over there one time, and I drove up to the guard gate, and I could see the track from the guard because I went into the compound. And the guy was, and he's got a gun. He's got his hand on his gun.
Oh, yeah. No,
and he's got his hand on his gun walking over to me from the guard gate. Now, I've never seen that before at a guard gate.
Not at a track.
Okay? Like that, and I'm like, dude, what are you pull that pistol on me? He goes, oh, no, I'm just, what are you doing here? I said, well, we're curious about the Tesla test track. And he starts, then he calms down. He realizes we're not bad guys. And he starts talking a little bit to us, but he didn't say much. Because I guess he's under this probably gag order. He can't talk about what they do there.
Yeah.
And he says, well, they're still working on the project here, and it's not complete yet. He starts telling us all that stuff. And I'm like, wow. And I looked at him, and I said, some serious money's being spent here.
Oh, buddy. Yeah.
And he goes, yes, it is. And so, again, but here's the problem now. Nobody wants EV vehicles.
Yeah.
Unless they're going to go ahead and tie them in to the ether, like, you know, into the magnetic field around the planet. And that's the final end goal, is to have us, like the Jetsons, that old TV cartoon, that, you know, they used to fly around in little ships and have no fuel requirements. There's the technology that we have on this planet, Austin, is at least 500 to 1,000 years ahead of what they've given us. And so they're just doing this cold, slowly thing of cooking the frog in the boiling pot.
They want to milk it, too. I mean, it's like same thing you see with, like, the Apple iPhones, for example. The technology that come out now, you know, like the 15, now they're coming out the 16 – dude, they've had that technology for the last 10, 15 years, but they want to make sure they roll it out really, 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 really slow to keep milking everybody for these phones and everything in between. And it's ironic because you look back now at a lot of stuff you see. There's a reason why you see movies back from the 90s and they're depicting stuff that we're now seeing in reality now. It's not because these guys were visionaries and they just happened to come up with this random stuff while they were dreaming one night and make a movie about it. It's because technology is already there. James Cameron and all these guys already knew what was going on, and they wanted to depict it and show everybody what was going to be in the future, what was predictive programming, and what essentially was getting people desensitized to it with Skynet and AI and all the other topics
true.
They roll out there. This movie came out in the early 80s. That technology for the general public wasn't even thought about. And now you've got where they're talking about having full AI systems and full AI vehicles and autonomous vehicles. And the problem with the autonomous vehicles, we actually met with a listener, a customer of ours, years ago at a meeting out there, that they were trying to battle a lot of the stuff against these autonomous vehicles. And the problem that they said, and this is why they pushed the EV cars so hard, the autonomous vehicles are there to take the ability for people to be able to travel freely, unmolested on your way. The vehicle will determine where you're going to go. You do not drive. And people go, oh, that's nice. I don't have to drive. Yeah, it'd be kind of cool. You sit back, relax, and you get shuttled around in an EV vehicle that's autonomous. Sounds cool on paper until you realize that when you decide, hey, I want to go to this store. I want to go to the gun range. You're declined from going to the gun range. You said hateful things on Facebook. Your EV autonomous vehicle is not going to allow you to go there. You're banned from going there in this vehicle. And you start realizing it's going to slowly take away your ability to make decisions. And he said the main issue with the autonomous vehicles is the only way to get them to function properly is every car on the road has to be tied into the Internet
of Things. That's exactly right, AI.
They all have to communicate with one another. This is why the Teslas are so notorious for wrecking all the time as far as in the autonomous mode, because they have to try to predict what everybody else is going to do on the road, which is virtually impossible, especially on a 3 or 4 lane highway on the right side. And now this car is trying to determine what every individual is doing at the exact same time. It's impossible. AI still can't even predict that. So what they have to do is they have to get every single vehicle has to talk to one another in the Internet of Things. And he explained that's why they're doing the 5G system. That's why they're doing the 6G system, or at least it's part of the reason why. And so, again, this is why it's really important to continue to maintain and support actually having real vehicles and being able to travel freely, unmolested, on your way. At least that's in my opinion. What do you think, Ted?
Well, the AI has to control everything. That's why they have to use the decoy. It's such a complicated mess to do that, to have millions of cars operating at once on a road.
Because they all have to talk.
They all have to talk. They all have to be – one. The AI has to control all of it.
Correct.
And that's why they set up the D-Wave computer to do that. But it's exactly what you said. Why do you need to go to North Carolina to go to the mountains?
There you go.
You know, that's, you know, a 10-hour drive from here. Why do you need to go
there?
You've
expended all your carbon credits this month.
You can't go there now.
Yeah.
So your car is going to tell you, no, you're not going to go to the mountains. Sorry you loaded your car, but it couldn't have made it anyhow because it could only make it 200 miles. And we're going to stop the charging station from charging you on the way up. In fact, we're just going to tell your car to turn itself off now because you've expended your carbon credits. But I want to go on vacation with my family. oh, no, we're not doing that. You can't do that at all. You're going to stay at home, peasant. You're going to sit here and wait.
Yep.
By the way, Tucker Carlson had an interesting interview, and he said the United States is being compared to the Roman Empire, which we've done many, many times. And he's, in the clip, Carlson recalled the fall of the Roman Empire, stating that while historians have long debated the reasons for the collapse of one of history's most powerful empires, one fact has been pretty obvious. The Roman military, its legions, became dominated by non-citizens who, in the end, because they weren't loyal to Rome, turned against Rome's citizen. Carlson went on to say that this course of events was similar to what is currently happening in the U.S., which has been flooded with illegal aliens, okay, migrants, you can call them aliens, 72 million since Joe Biden entered office. Now, it's just way past that. It's 40 to 50 million now. And so the sad part about it is the bill would offer qualified, vetted migrants expedited paths towards citizenship if they serve in the military. Ryan said, noting that U.S. military missed its recruiting goals by around 41,000 in 2023. Now, the sad part about all of this stuff is that he's right. But also, there's something else that's going on here. When these illegal migrants come into the United States and they were raised under a communist country, you know, and they have the ability to get everything for free, they come over here because Joe Biden is offering a big, like you said, Krispy Kreme donut sign in the United States. Come up here, we're going to give you a $10,000 credit card, which to them is like 3 or 4 years worth of wages.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So you're giving them this huge incentive to come here, free housing, free cars, free everything, free jobs, and free money every month to get another $10,000 credit card over and over and over again. That's why they're coming. They're not coming here because they want to be in poverty in the United States. They come here because they're being told what they're going to get by their relatives when they come here, and because they probably have all kinds of internet advertising down there in South America, which we probably can't see up here, that tells these people to come here, come here, come here, and we will feed you, we will clothe you, we will house you. Now, quite frankly, if I was living in a slum in El Salvador and I saw one of those videos and I saw one of my relatives who had come to the United States, I would come. In the United States, back, I remember my grandfather came over here, you know, way, way, way long time ago, and he wrote back and told all of his family how great the United States was. And they all wanted to come to the United States. And that's why they couldn't bring communism into Germany during, you know, the Russian Revolution, because the Germans had basically been told that the United States was the land of plenty and it was the shining city on a hill. And we've talked about this before. They had to destroy that image. They had to destroy the name of the United States of America before they could destroy the country. And that's exactly what they're doing to us right now, and bringing all of these people in who do not have our shared values in the United States. It's sad. But you remember something, guys. If you're listening to this show, we have a shared value. His name's Jesus Christ. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the author. He's the finisher. And he's back. I love you guys. Awesome finishing up.
Listen, that's why it's so important to make sure you're maintaining your overall health, make sure you're maintaining mental acuity, and continuing to stay strong, because there's a lot of weird things happening right now, and that's why we bring this stuff to you on the show every single day. The truth, as best as we can bring it. If you guys need anything, you know where to get a hold of us, healthmasters.com. Be sure to check out a bunch of the specials. The Resveratrol, I talked about it yesterday because that new research study came out. Went ahead and threw it on sale for a couple days on the front webpage. It's only going to be on there a couple days. I don't have a huge amount of inventory. Very expensive, but I did a big sale on it. So you guys check it out at healthmasters.com. Have a blessed, safe, awesome night, my friends. You guys stay strong and healthy as always, and we'll talk to you again on this show tomorrow. Love you guys.
Broadcasting to the U.S. and around the world by way of Clear Digital Audio, 22,500 miles above the planet, this is the Global Star Radio Network.